Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Shoveling snow, because it is still coming down. By the time some of you hear this, perhaps if you hear my podcast, hey, Kate Delaney, then it will be on the ground and will be maybe 2 feet or more. This is a crazy winter storm. It's a nor'easter. I don't know why they call it a nor'easter. I mean, I know why, but there's got to be a better name for this. A please go away storm. Blinding storm. Blinding snow. Just crazy in New York City. You know, you couldn't see anything in front of you. And not just in New York City, but in Philadelphia, in Washington, D.C. It is one of those storms along 95. Now, initially they thought, oh, 80 million people will be affected. It's like closer to 100 million people. Central New Jersey, northern New Jersey, they've been hit 2 feet of snow. Another foot could fall by Tuesday night. Gusts were at about 35 miles an hour. Now it's up to like 60 miles an hour. Whiteout conditions, lots of accidents, and planes, of course, grounded from Washington, D.C. to Boston, like 1,600 flights, if anybody was flying. And they've seen that power's gone down and forced the vax sites, the COVID-19 vaccination sites, to have to shut down across all those areas. Philly, New York, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts. It is bad. Some people try to brave it because, you know, we're in this world where sometimes it is about, you got to eat. What am I going to do? So I saw a crazy photo in, I think it was one of the New York papers maybe, but somewhere, where you had a delivery driver who was on his bicycle, and he was riding in the snow. Now, he had a helmet on with goggles, and he was, of course, all bundled up, and I thought, I don't even know how is he pedaling through this snow, even if some of it's been tamped down, you know what I'm saying, where cars go across it. So much was falling. I mean, I just don't know how you could even see. And that's why the subway, they just shut down at like 2 o'clock on Monday, and they're opening up at 5 a.m. on Tuesday. And above ground, they stopped it right away versus beneath. They were a little bit after that. But anyway, the commuter rail lines, they're just critical for any kind of essential workers. How are they going to get into New York? They have to do that. And the vax sites in New Jersey, they have these mega sites, and they have to be closed. The governor announced on Monday, like, there's no way they're going to be closed because of the storm, and that all these scheduled vaccinations will take place sometime this week, but no new vaccinations are going to be scheduled through the state's vaccination call center until the storm's impact is assessed. That's a smart thing to do, right? Because you've got all these people that didn't get vaccinated, and they don't just lose their place in line, you know, just keep moving forward. So schools are closed if any of them were open, and it's, you know, it's tough. It's a winter wonderland if you just look out the window, or you don't have to shovel the stuff. But if you have to shovel it, you know, there's something about snow, and some of you are listening to me in the Northeast and in the Midwest where you're getting it, and even some places in the West where you get snow. There's something that's soothing and that quiet sound and how tranquil it is, like Central Park, just quiet. You see some of these videos. But then there's that other side of it, of, oh, we have no choice. I know you're telling us not to get it out, but we have an appointment that we have to get to. It's a medical appointment that's not even COVID-related, or there's someplace that we have to go, like we're an essential worker, we're on the front lines, and we have to do it. So they're not canceling it. They're not telling us don't come in. We have to come in. We have to figure out how we're going to get there, and it's not quite so fun when you have to do that. you know, especially with the vax sites and people freaked out about that, that want to get the vaccines, finally got their place in line, so to speak, and then they have to deal with the snow and find that it's canceled and then figure out how that all gets re-racked, because there still is some figuring out that has to be done. Murphy Smart, the governor of New Jersey, to stop, say, hey, no, 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 we're not going to take any more calls. So normally we would, but we're not going to do that. But crazy, right? What's really interesting, I think, and as part of the conversation, besides the heavy snow, and always Mother Nature, she rears her head in good ways and bad ways, and we talk about weather, because that's the common denominator, one of the big ones between all of us. But the other thing that's happening is suddenly the market is being discussed a little bit more. And I say it's being discussed more because of GameStop and what happened with GameStop. And meaning the Reddit mob. Some people are calling it the Reddit flash mob. I call them the Reddit raiders. But anyway, they jumped into the middle of GameStop, which there were hedge funds that were betting against GameStop dropping lower and lower the stock and pocketing money on that bet. And then, of course, they lost their shirts when it was all, when the market was fluid with so many people buying GameStop stock, the so-called little guys, the day traders, not the hedge fund managers. And people are looking for explanations. What does that mean? I don't understand. I think this is a big part of the conversation. So then you look at the price of metal, which is already at an eight-year high, and there's the push to try to work the magic on silver. But it's a little more difficult there. So one of the things that they do, one of the things that they've done, is they targeted silver exchange-traded funds, or what we call ETFs, and they're obliged to back their units with physical holdings of the metal. So that's the way to get the biggest bang for your buck, I guess, is the best way to explain it. And so the price of metal jumped by 10%. So it was fun and crazy games with GameStop. AMC with some movie moments, because they're just tanked, AMC. And now silver investing in something different. So, you know, it's interesting to see what's coming next on these lists. And then will there be some overregulation or dramatic shifts or any of that that will happen as a result of what's gone on the last really week and a half, 2 weeks? I think really there's been more conversation about that. And what happens to those who say, this is what I do for a living, and it's mine to target and pick and look at what's happening with the market. And now you have the Robin Hood crowd that are saying, well, we're in the pandemic and we have some time on our hands, and we're looking at some of these stocks, and now we're looking at the ones that we want to invest in, and they shoot it up, and it's just been a wild thing to see. I mean, just a wild thing to see where it's going and what could possibly be next. And that's my explanation. Whatever the play is next, because GameStop is fading out, of course. Silver, gold is up on the boards as a possibility. I've been looking at some of what's being thrown out there to chum the waters, so to speak. And I think that will continue. I do. I think it'll continue, and there's going to be more conversation. And, of course, because they have nothing to do, right, in Congress, that's going to be talked about as well. Numbers coming up on the flip side in another version of We Can Count.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. Here's just one example of what you can get with a free subscription from Avid Market Highlights Report. With gold prices hitting new highs in 2020, investors are just beginning to push into junior gold miner stocks. And we want to send you research that can position you to win with this red-hot gold stock opportunity in the market. Text WIN to 48542 for more info on gold miner investment opportunities now with your free subscription to Market Highlights Report. Text the word WIN to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the winningest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word WIN to 48542. Text WIN to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text WIN to 48542.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Well, just so you know, according to a new study that was published in the Sports Medicine Journal, and that really tops We Can Count, a third of Americans walk around in the zombie-like concussion daze because we don't get enough sleep and we're stressed. Yeah. So between 11 and 12, 27%, that's a little bit higher, of student-athletes, for example, with a recent concussion reported symptoms that can be linked to post-concussion syndrome. Those common symptoms include fatigue, low energy, and drowsiness. Oh, that's just another day. The study says the symptoms are due to a lack of sleep and stress. So actually, this study that came up with this of what happens was done on 31,000 student athletes from the NCAA institutes and military service academies. That's how they came up with the subjects, and that's what they found. That, you know, that these are the things that linger. Between 50% and 75% of the people that were surveyed reported at least one concussion-like symptom. And it is those things I mentioned. Drowsiness is one of the most common. Fatigue, that kind of thing. Memory problems, anxiety, insomnia, dizziness, all the same things I mentioned. And I think it's worse. It's worse with the pandemic. Of course we're fatigued because, as my cousin said to me in a Christmas card, home alone, never alone. And that's part of the problem. Everybody is so on top of each other in these bubbles that we're in. And then you look at the numbers that you see and how many people have died. 442,000 in the U.S., according to Johns Hopkins. That's out of 26.3 million cases. And to those listening to us in other great places in other parts of the world, parts that we wanted to go to and couldn't because the world shut down, 2.24 million deaths overall. So throw in our almost half million into that. And that's out of 103 million cases. 103 million cases. And the impact that it's causing on people's lives financially, emotionally, you know, physically, of course there's fatigue. That is absolutely not a shock, I think, to any of us. And I think that's part of the problem. Sometimes the symptoms of COVID-19 are similar to the other things that we're experiencing because of the pandemic. President Joe Biden told Republican senators during a two-hour meeting on a Monday night that he doesn't want to settle on an insufficient coronavirus aid package because they pitched a slimmed down $618 billion instead of the $1.9 trillion he wanted. Now, this was the first meeting, big meeting, that kind of lengthy meeting with the lawmakers at the White House. The Democrats in Congress moved ahead with the groundwork for approving the COVID relief package that he wants, the $1.9 trillion. I say this all the time. It's exactly like what Trump wanted, the same thing. Despite the Republicans' appeal for bipartisanship as part of the effort to unify the country, the president made it clear he's not going to delay aid in the hopes of winning Republican support as much as he wants to. So they're not going to slow down. They're looking at the proposal. We'll see if there is a compromise. I mean, obviously, the two sides are far apart. If you look at those numbers, it was 10 Republican senators, by the way, that were focused on the health care crisis and the smaller $1,000 direct aid instead of the $1,400. The idea is that this relief will be there and out by March when extra unemployment assistance and other pandemic aid will just expire. And that's when the need will be the greatest for many. So testing the ability of this new administration and Congress to come up with this. And is there, you know, there may be failure on all sides of it. But this is, again, the Republicans are saying $1,000 direct payments or, you know, the $1,400 that we want the $1,000 direct payments and we want the smaller amount. And, of course, to me, you know, when you look at this, it's that the what's going to the businesses, how are they parceling this up, you know, what's happening. You think of the massive tax cut that happened in the beginning of President Trump's administration and the breaks that a lot of people got for that. And then you look at COVID and the pandemic and somehow there's just a disconnect. I mean, we're in a terrible position, of course, when you think of the debt, the country's debt, et cetera. I look at money, and I think I've been to, every single mint except for maybe one. And I grew up not far from the Philly Mint, and I can remember going there many times. And I would just like you just look at it's just paper, right? You look at the money, and we just keep doing that. The paper is just poof, it's just paper. And I think of it. I look at that the paper that's coming out, and then I look at what's going to ultimately happen with our debt, et cetera. We get that. I mean, I get that. You get that. Etc. Where is too much? Where is the breaking point? But we're at the breaking point with businesses, people who are underemployed and unemployed, and businesses that still aren't going to open for a while because they can't, because we're in the worst part of this pandemic. We saw already how many people died in January, and we still have months and months and months to go, bad news, with what's happening with the pandemic, with COVID-19, and especially with these different strains. I would be the first person to say I would love for this to be over now. Let's move on from it. But the realistic, I think, possibility of seeing the bigger shift is probably in the fall. I would love to see it happen by the end of the summer, and maybe that happens. Maybe we get lucky. There is herd immunity. I'm all about that. I'm all about pushing for the glasses half full. But the realist in the conversations that I've had with people, the little realist in me, is seeing what's really being said and seeing what's being canceled and looking at the tea leaves a little bit closer. So that's the reality of it, right? So how do you get there when you have restaurants that are closed, when you have businesses that can't survive, when you have all these great local community stores that just, they can't do it? They've had to let people go, and they can barely keep the doors open, And how much can they take? They need the money. They need more money. They need to be able to rely on that. And fine, whether it's in the form of a loan or whatever, it's low cost, etc. But something has to happen. Thank goodness that I got to hear Tony Bennett sing I Left My Heart in San Francisco. I saw him, I want to say 5 years, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. But Tony Bennett has revealed that he has Alzheimer's. The 94-year-old crooner has been battling the disease for a while. And they did a lengthy article on him in AARP, and that's now popped out all over the place in periodicals, newspapers, etc. That was the big story, I think, on Monday. He says, life is a gift, even with Alzheimer's. Thank you to Susan and my family for their support. He was diagnosed with it in 2016, and since then, the disease is progressing. His wife says there are moments when he could not recognize everyday objects like a fork and keys, and he began to show symptoms a couple years after the diagnosis while recording his album with Lady Gaga. So they're doing the best to help him with a healthier lifestyle, all that kind of stuff, exercise, you know, that's what they always suggest, and singing, because singing is everything to him, and those words he can remember. But, you know, he's 94 years old. But I think that was a big story because we talk about Alzheimer's and more people coming down with Alzheimer's or contracting Alzheimer's, the disease. And what does that mean as the studies continue, and what are the things that you can do to combat that? I had a great aunt who was fabulous who had it, and sometimes she could, and I only saw her a handful of times, sometimes she would recognize me, or sometimes she would call me my mother's name. But boy, she could still play backgammon like nobody's business. That never, ever left her. All right, stay with us. We have much more coming your way. Big shout out to Nate the Great, the technical maestro of this show. Good work, my friend, always.
Them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Act Council.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A group of 10 Republican senators sat down with President Biden at the White House Monday evening to begin negotiations over a COVID relief package. During the two-hour session, the senators laid out their $618 billion counterproposal to the president's $1.9 trillion relief package. The group's leader, Maine Senator Susan Collins, told reporters while they didn't reach a deal, both sides agreed to continue talks in order to find common ground to provide some form of help for the American people.
All of us are concerned about struggling families, teetering small businesses, an overwhelmed health care system, getting vaccines out and into people's arms, and strengthening our economy and addressing the public health crisis that we face.
This is USA Radio News. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he's deeply disturbed by Russia's crackdown on protesters calling for the release of opposition leader Alexei Navalny. He tells NBC News that the Russian government is deflecting blame for the protests on the U.S. and should instead look inward.
But I think the Russian government makes a big mistake if it believes that this is about us. It's not. It's about them. It's about the government. It's about the frustration that the Russian people have with corruption, with kleptocracy. And I think they need to look inward, not outward, and hopefully take into account what they're hearing from their own people. Mr. Navalny is giving expression to the voices of millions and millions of Russians, and that's what this is about.
And Ohio Democratic Congressman Tim Ryan is reportedly looking to move to the Senate. The New York Times first reported that Ryan intends to run for Senator Rob Portman's seat in 2022. Portman announced last week that he would not be seeking re-election at the end of his term. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Time to hit the headers. What are we all talking about? Meaning, what is the buzz across the land? No doubt about it. We're looking at this snow in the Northeast, and some are saying, oh, thank goodness I don't live there anymore, or thank goodness I don't live there, period. And I grew up in the Northeast, so I look at that I-95. I've talked about it on the show just the other day, and when they were saying, they being the weather people up and down the coastline, look at the map, up to 20 inches of snow in New York City by the time it's all said and done. My goodness. Down 7th Avenue, you couldn't see like 12 inches in front of you. Seriously, no exaggeration. These blizzard conditions are insane. And like I said, I look at 95, that whole area in the Northeast, just a thick blanket of a winter storm, heavy, heavy snow. So power outages, that's the thing that happens. They've shut down the vaccine sites for at least a couple of days, and some of the heaviest accumulations are still happening right now. Parts of New England, our friend Sharon in Maine, who always calls in during our Nail the Score segment, and that's coming up on Wednesday into Thursday, by the way, they're forecast to see about a foot of snow by the time the storm kind of tapers off on Wednesday evening. 15 inches of snow in Central Park. You could ski in parts of Central Park. I'm not kidding. By late afternoon, probably earlier than that when there was less snow. And some places in New Jersey, they've got about 20 inches of snow too. And now some of that is tapering off. But these blizzard conditions are wild. And they're really urging people, don't drive if you don't have to, because how can you see? I mean, look, all of us have probably been in that situation, right? You're listening to me right now. Close your eyes for a second and think about that time when you thought you could make it from point A to point B. You had to go to the mall and get a Christmas card. You had to go pick up a pizza. You had to go meet your pals. You had to do whatever. I've been there in a terrible, terrible snowstorm where you want to talk about white knuckling it and holding on to the wheel, because I thought, I'm a good driver. I'm a defensive driver. I think it took me, I don't know how long to go 5 miles, but I look at this and I say, no way would I step out. 50 mile an hour winds in some spots. In Pennsylvania, they're talking about a 67-year-old woman with Alzheimer's, they think, wandered off from her home. She was found dead, sadly, of hypothermia in a street in Allentown. And there have been other things that have happened because of this, because of these snow-covered roads, accidents where, luckily, they weren't fatal. Connecticut governor, I know we got tons of people listening to us in Stamford, Connecticut. Connecticut governor Ned Lamont said the storm force the postponement of about 10,000 shots and, of course, delayed the resupply of the vaccine that's expected to come on Tuesday. So a lot of those vaccination appointments had to be extended, reshuffled, and you know what that's like trying to get those. And, of course, anybody who was going to school in the Northeast, that was all re-racked. And in New York, the mayor said, no way, schools closed on Tuesday, too. Hundreds of flights were canceled. But this is familiar anyway, right, with the pandemic. But, of course, it happened because there are still some people that are flying. And this shows you how bad it is in New York City. The subway is the lifeline there. So the subway service was also suspended in New York as of like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday. So pretty bad. And this is what you look at and you say, yeah, I don't miss that. splashes of snow are fabulous, right? But being blanketed like that, I talked about that whole thing of, you know, shoveling the sidewalks and what you have to do. And I thought, you know, hey, I'll tell you, it was maybe it was 15 years ago. I was back east and everybody was away. I was staying at my mother's house and I had to shovel the sidewalks. And I thought, well, I'm in shape. I got the shovel. Are you kidding? I would have paid anyone to just shovel the snow for me. I mean, my arms, it felt like I was hauling logs by the time I was done. And it was over, I just kept going out over like an 8-hour period. It was miserable. Then I really realized the importance of anybody who works in the business of removing snow for you. Oof. All right, speaking of getting snowed in a different way, I think some of the people who voted for this woman got snowed, frankly. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Mitch McConnell coming out swinging, saying loony lies, and then defending Liz Cheney. So the Senate Minority Leader on Monday went to bat for the Republican Conference Chair Cheney and absolutely condemned any of the remarks from the mouth of freshman Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. McConnell issued a statement condemning the extremist views of Greene, whose support for QAnon and other conspiracy theories has drawn a lot of scorn, of course, from Democrats, but also from a lot of Republicans. People aren't talking about that. Republicans are saying, what is up with this woman? McConnell said the Georgia Congresswoman's embrace of conspiracy theories and loony lies, that's the word, loony lies, is a cancer for the Republican Party. And said that somebody who's suggesting, because this was one of the things she said, one of many, somebody who's suggesting that perhaps no airplane hit the Pentagon on 9/11, that horrifying school shootings were pre-staged, and that the Clintons crashed JFK Jr.'s airplane is not living in reality. And he said this has nothing to do with the challenges facing American families or the robust debates on substance that can strengthen our party. So, wow, Mitch McConnell saying, I can't allow this to happen. Democrats are for her, for Green, to be censured. That's what they want to see happen, and removed from her committee or even ousted from Congress, as more of her social media activity from before she ran for office have put her in the spotlight. Her likes on posts that called for violence against Democrats and posts that outlined wild conspiracies, claiming a space laser may have caused the deadly wildfires in California. I mean, she's the butt of every joke for late night comedians. And the furor is intensifying after her appointment to the House Education and Labor Committee. And then the revelations in these social media posts that she viewed shooting massacres at Sandy Hook Elementary in Connecticut, my friends in Connecticut, in 2012. What a terrible, awful thing that happened to your lives. And also what happened in Florida, at Parkland in Florida in 2018. She said they were stage events designed to help Democrats promote gun control. This lady does not belong on the Hill representing the Republican Party in Georgia. Listen, all of you who are Republicans, no matter which way you say you go on the pendulum, because we know it can vary. And if the Republican Party, Mitch McConnell sees it, if the Republican Party has a chance to continue to thrive, survive, or even morph into something better that people want and are unsatisfied with what they're seeing in the representatives, this woman cannot be the representative you want. The conspiracy theories belong on talk shows where they talk about conspiracy theories. Let me list them for you. They don't belong in Congress and on the Hill. I agree with Mitch McConnell, and it's very bad for the Republican Party because of what this represents. It's one thing to not agree. It's one thing to not agree even with the election results. It's one thing to be for Donald Trump and have him come to your rally and all that sort of thing. But this is completely on the other side. Trust me, Donald Trump is not agreeing with what she's saying about what happened on 9/11 or what happened in the school shootings or any of that. He would absolutely not agree with any of what she's saying. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out in the next couple of weeks, I think, on the Hill. And speaking of that, of course, the next thing up is what? The Senate impeachment trial, which there's no way there's going to be 17 Republican senators that vote to that vote in favor of saying that Trump should be tagged with inciting the riot and that one article of impeachment. I do not see it. If you look at what has been said, and we all know this, I mean, there's no limb or ledge or plank I'm going out on or piece of brilliant information I'm giving you, because it's obvious, and we knew this heading into this, anybody looking at it, it's numbers. And of course, the former president knows that, and he has a lot of sway, and he has a lot of sway in what will happen with the Republican Party. That's why the Marjorie Taylor Greene conundrum is a big, big problem for Republicans. And I think once Trump gets through this, he would agree with that. But right now, Trump and his first set of lawyers parted ways. So now there's this next set of lawyers who are handling his trial. They've got papers that they're turning in on Tuesday, and the original attorneys wanted to stress that the Senate shouldn't hold a trial of a former office holder, and that Trump's comments during a January 6th rally did not incite the mob that led to a deadly riot at the Capitol. And I think this is going to be a little bit different the way they do this. And it does come down to the arguments of that he is no longer commander in chief and the constitutionality. That's certainly something that could come up. But I think there's other ways that they're going to look at this. And I'll bet you that there's no question, as I said when I started this, that 17 senators are going to say, yeah, he did it. That's it. Boom. And he doesn't get to run for office again, and then he's stamped with that, et cetera. It's not going to happen. Sean Hannity was saying on his Monday night show that the trial is unconstitutional, nothing more than an effort to prevent Trump from running for president again. And I think the idea is absolutely the Democrats don't want him to run for president again. As I said, he has sway, he has money, he has backing, he has a lot of friends, and I thought for sure, before all this happened, that he would run in 2024 based on conversations I had with people in the know. So this is the first hurdle that his lawyers have to get him through, absolutely for sure. All right, hang with us as we head for the exits. One final turn here on the show. Stay with us. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Looking to read a really good book to get lost into. This time around in Author's Corner, on Author's Corner, Nishant Kaushik joins us, and he's written a book that is very funny. I like the dark humor in this book. It's called Good Boy Joe, and I think anyone could pick up this book and get lost in it and really, really enjoy it. And I love the reasons why, when we talked off the air, he put this together and how he went all in. I always say dealing your own destiny is about going all in, and he really went all in writing this book. And you can get it on Amazon, and you will laugh out loud. I think you will howl. In fact, that's what happened with my nephew when he read the book. So, Nishant, without further ado, thank you so much for joining us from Australia. And I kind of set you up there with the dark comedy. Tell us about the background of Good Boy Joe and what went into writing this.
Kate, firstly, thank you so much for having me on your show. It's an absolute pleasure. Talking about Good Boy Joe, this really started with a figment of my imagination. I have grown up watching films. I've been obsessed with films, ever since I was a young child. And when I moved to Bombay, which is a kind of the Beverly Hills of India, you could say, the land of the films in India, I used to often walk on the streets of the city admiring the houses that belong to film stars, and I always wondered what it would be like to live a day in the life of a film star. That's, I think, that's the seed of the story. That's how Good Boy Joe came into existence. I created a character called Joe DeCosta, who is a pretty much out-of-job youth in Mumbai, who's looking for something meaningful to do in life, and how he encounters an opportunity to spend a day in the life of Vicky Bhargav, who is a popular film star, now kind of going down the hill in a sense. And that contrast between these two characters' lives is what I've tried to bring alive through the story, to show that on one hand you've got a poor young man who is aspiring to a rich life, but he hasn't been able to get one so far, and on the other hand you've got a very, very super rich guy who's been a very popular film star, but he's now got he's having struggles and problems of his own that he's having to deal with. He's on downhill when it comes to his career. He's out of relationships. He's out of luck. He's dealing with problems with the underworld. So that contrast is what I've tried to bring alive, and that's the entire context of the story as well.
Yeah, and for you, I mean, this was personal because you're crazy about the movies. You moved to Bombay, which is, like as you described to me, the Beverly Hills of the movie industry, certainly in India, and many of us are aware of that too because there's so many crossover stars. So what was it like? Take all of us to Bombay with you. What was that like for you, wandering around the streets and looking at some of the opulent areas of Bombay?
Well, I think the opulence of Bombay cannot be seen in isolation. It's a city. The city is an experience overall. I mean, you know, just the first day that I walked into the city, I went to the beach, for instance. I'd never seen a sea in my life before. I came from a non-coastal state. So just that enormity of the city comes to life when you look at the sea, with the Arabian Sea surrounding this little island. Everything about the city, not just the opulent parts, but, you know, the spirit of the city, how people try to help each other. When the city of Bombay has seen numerous stressful situations. For example, frequent floods. There have been terror attacks over the years. Every time, the way the city bounces back to life just makes you fall in love with it each time. After every incident that rocks the city, it bounces back, and that's something so lively about Bombay. That's what I love about it. And then, of course, add to it that entire layer of the film industry. That aura that surrounds the film industry is something that makes Bombay shine even more in my eyes.
Yeah.
It's an experience I can't get rid of, and I keep telling my family I've been outside India for like 7 years now, I think, but I have not been able to get Bombay out of my heart. It still belongs to me. I still feel that I live in it while I physically don't.
Wow. You did do a very good job of taking us there, and that really inspired Joe. So tell us more about Joe. What kind of guy is Joe?
So Joe DeCosta is a guy who grew up in a small village in Tamil Nadu, which is in the south of India. And while this entire story is, of course, a piece of fiction, but it draws inspiration from certain real life incidents. So his village got devastated in the tsunami of 2004, which was something that had actually happened in India back in December 2004.
Oh, yeah.
And the after effects of that tsunami and how his family got displaced because of that calamity, had to move to Bombay with very little means to actually survive. How his widowed mother tried to, bring him up in a city that was fraught with challenges, not just financial, but also in terms of family. They had little support. And in spite of that, this guy has, he has the mojo, basically. He thinks he can achieve a lot in life. He has not worked very hard so far, but he's got very fancy dreams. And that's really most of us during our growing up years. My friends and I, we have been like that. We have seen our struggles. We have seen our family struggle. We come from typically middle-class families. But at the same time, we have the mojo. We love life. We love to live life on a high. And we are not in a hurry to accomplish our dreams. We have got great dreams, but we feel we'll get there in due course of time. We don't really make a dash for them at times. And that's what Joe is all about.
And then Joe has some really funny things that happen to us, happen to him, and then it feels like it's happening to us. That's why I say this book really, it's fiction. It really pulls you in. So give us a funny moment from the book.
I think there are plenty of funny moments that the story is peppered with, if I have the liberty of saying so without being too brash. But one of the subplots that comes to my mind is this time when Joe decides to take or offers to take the film star Ricky Bhargav to his film shoot to Lonavala, which is about 200 kilometers out of Bombay. It's almost in itself a very unbelievable situation because a film star wouldn't ride pillion on a scooter, really. But that's what the story says. And so that the crowds on the road don't recognize the actor, Joe offers him a black helmet, saying, you know, put this on so that people won't know it's you. And in one of the sequences of this road trip, they stop for a bite at a food stall which belongs to Joe's uncle. And it just so happens that the uncle starts mocking Ricky Bhargav in the restaurant, saying he's an actor who's gone down south. His career is going downhill. He has not much left. And he starts mocking his voice as well. So just the entire sequence, it's been 6 years since I've written the story. So I don't remember the exact dialogue that I wrote. But I do remember that the scene was very close to my heart because in a very rare moment, the author was laughing while writing the scene. So I kind of like that. I like that sequence. The fact that an arrogant film star of yesterday today just has to sit behind a black helmet, silently absorbing, bitterly absorbing the nasty things that are being said to him by a common man in a restaurant. So I think that's something that I found dark and funny at the same time.
Oh, yeah. And there's plenty of moments like that in this book, Good Boy Joe, Nishant Kaushik. You can pick it up on Amazon.com, easy to find. And Nishant, what do you hope people that are listening to us take away from reading your book? Let's say they get your book and they get lost in what we've been talking about. What do you hope ultimately they walk away with?
I think unlike most other books that I have written, this story is not something that I would say is everyday relatable. It's a rather make-believe story. It gives you a peek into what potentially the world of film stars might look like, especially from the eyes of a common man like Joe DeCosta. And it's just, it's an absolute figment of imagination layered with a lot of humor, I hope, and with a bit of, dark reality of the underworld and the glitz of the film industry. And of course, the struggles that India's youth every day have to face with, such as poverty, economic and financial crisis, etc. So at the end of the day, the packaged story is just a very entertaining narrative, I would say. It's laced with humor, and it's a very breezy read. I would say it's a day and a half read. It's something that you just go home smiling after you've read the book. It's like watching a comedy film.
I like that description. It's a perfect place to end this. Who doesn't want to have a smile on their face? A quick read, meaning it's easy. It takes you away from whatever your struggles are, and especially now in the world today, books couldn't be more popular, and stories like this are fantastic. Thank you so much, Nishant, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate, once again, for having me on your show. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.